Let's join our hearts together to pray. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The King of love is on his throne. Hallelujah, hallelujah. His grace will lead us safely home. Oh Lord, we need this message. As we read the news this week, factory explosion in China kills dozens. Gas leak in southern Taiwan almost ripped apart a city. Ebola running rampant in West Africa as we're bringing two of the missionary workers back to the United States try to save their lives. And even closer home, our Malawi teams, they brushed through death. They saw a young child pass away while they are there. Oh Lord Father, we have no answer for all these. But what we have is you have given us your only begotten Son. You have entered into our suffering and suffered with us through your Son. This morning we lift up all those who are in need around us, among us, and even far away from us. We pray that this message, hallelujah, hallelujah, the King of love is on his throne. Hallelujah, hallelujah. By your grace, one day you will lead us into perfect safety, into your glory. We praise your name. We pray that the gospel will be powerfully preached, either through words or through our deeds, so that this world may see your love and may see the true hope in your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Would you please remain as I read today's scripture? Today's scripture is coming from the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. The title of today's sermon is The Sacredness of Marriage, the Foundation of Parenting. This is the Word of God, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 to 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. That is, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. This is the reading of the Word of God. Please be seated. Before I lead you to have a time to pray for God's Word to take root in our hearts, I want to show you a song, an old song. The AV co-worker has prepared it.
World in the usual way, but there were planes to catch and bills to pay. He learned to walk while I was away, and he was talking for I knew it. And as he grew, he'd say, I'm gonna be like you, Dad. You know I'm gonna be like you. And the cats in the cradle and the silver moon, little boy filling the man home. When you're coming home, Dad, I don't know. The day he said, thanks for the ball, Dad. Come on, let's play. Can you teach me to throw? I said, not today. I got a lot to do. He said, that's okay. And then he walked away, but his smile never did. He said, I'm gonna be like him. Yeah, you know I'm gonna be like him. And the cat's in the cradle and the same room. The little boy doing the man on the moon. When you're coming home, Dad, I don't know when. Then, you know we'll have a good time then. Well, he came from college just the other day. So much like a man, I just had to say, I'm proud of you. Can you sit for a while? He shook his head and he said with a smile, what I'd really like, Dad, is to borrow the car keys. See you later, can I have them free? And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon. Little boy blue and the man of the moon. When you're coming home,
sun, I don't know when, but we'll get together then. Since retired, my son moved away. I called him up just the other day. I said, I'd like to see you if you don't mind. He said, I'd love to, Dad, if I can find the time. You see, my new job's a hassle and the kids are the flu. But it's your nice talking to you, Dad. If it's your nice talking to you. And as I hung up the phone, it occurred to me, he'd grown up just like me. My boy was just like me. And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon. Little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, son, I don't know when, but we'll get together then. We're gonna have a good time there.
We may laugh at the song, but I think it rings some fear in parents' heart, because the song keeps saying, when our kids are little, when our kids growing up, we miss the opportunity to connect with them. And the son saying that, I'm going to go grow up like my dad. Now, it has an element of fear. But today in God's word, I want to bring you the good news for parents and for children. So let's bow our head and pray and look upon God to speak to our hearts. Part of the song captures some of the reality in this society. As we are demanded by all aspects of life to have our own presence and our attention. And sometimes it robs us the most important thing. Father, I pray that the song not only remind us, but also your word will take us beyond that song. We love our children not out of the fear of in the future they don't love us. We love our children because there's a divine calling. There's a more glorious calling behind that. So as we study your word this morning, we pray that you will bring transformation power to father and mother's heart, and also bring transformation power to children's heart, as all of us, right now or before, we are or we were children of someone. And most important of all, we are children of God. We pray in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. It will be helpful if you bring your own Bible, whether it's electronic or a physical copy, because a lot of time we just will go beyond the text that we just read, because there is a context. As before, I mentioned to you, there's some theological professor saying, a very famous saying, that a text without a context is a pretext for a proof text. So when we study God's word, we need to put it back to its proper context, what the author intended to communicate to his readers, and so that we will not miss the point. So today is a continuation of a series of messages in the month of July and August about marriage. Marriage, we know that, is not just about a man and a woman, but also the offspring, the children that is part of the family. So today we're going to devote some time in about the foundation of parenting. Chapter 6 of the book of Ephesians is an outflow, a natural outflow of the previous teaching that Paul begins in chapter 1 to chapter 5. What was Paul talking about in the book of Ephesians that will lead to these four verses? And when we read these four verses, you also will have a similar question like last time we studied 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 to 7.
First Peter chapter 3, verses 1 to 7, when Peter addressed to the relationship, the role of husband and wife, he devoted most of the verses, 6 verses, to the wife, and only 1 verse to the husband. And here, likewise, you will see that Paul, in chapter 6, devoted the first 3 verses to children, and only the last one to fathers. So what is going on, and how can we derive that the title coming from this called the Foundation of Parenting? It actually comes from the beginning of the book, which Paul is emphasizing a tremendous love that God had for us. It comes from the first chapter. I put out verse 3 to 5 in the English Standard Version for you. Now let me read that to you. Chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will. Now you have to understand one thing, one little thing that I have to explain to you very clearly. When you see that He says sons, as well as like chapter 6, verse 4, fathers, it is an expression in that time that actually included both genders. It means sons and daughters. Father means parents. Okay, it is the way that ancient language works. So in other words, in chapter 1, verse 3, Paul pointed out, blessed be the Lord and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be Him. Why? Because who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. In other words, He is not reserving things, not giving us. His intention is to shower us and pour down all the spiritual blessings for us, for each one of us in Christ Jesus, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. Paul said, He chose you and me before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. Not only sin just washed away, holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ. He predetermined, before the foundation of the world, He loved us and predetermined that He chose us to be His beloved son and daughters in Christ Jesus according to the purpose of His will. What is this couple of verses that's packed with a lot of ideas and concepts? What is it talking about? Basically, He's communicating to us not a theological doctrine, but a love. And that love is not out of accident. It's not like God saying, oh, I look at this person, that person, my creation, he or her looks better than the rest, or he or her has a little bit more merit in his life, so I decided to love him. No. Before the foundation of the world, He already loved us. Period. Now, maybe you still think this is kind of abstract, difficult to understand. But if you go to any of us, particularly those who are sitting in the baby's crying room, you know, they've gone through that. They have a newborn baby, they have a toddler, they have a little child. Remember, or you heard that, before your child was born, what did you do? You planned. You prepared. You redecorated the room that used to be a lot of mess. You repainted to some nice, cute colors. Decorate all these things. Let me ask you this question. Does it really matter for the newborn baby to be laid down in a room that is, you know, just plain white color, or with those baby blue or baby paint, or with a lot of water that being put in that, the baby probably won't be able to see those things yet. But what is it? It is an expression of the parents' love. And that love expressed in, I prepare something before he or she is born. So in other words, in the book of Ephesians, the doctrine of predestination has to be understood in the context of God's love in Christ for each one of us. You remove it from that context, it becomes a dry and difficult doctrine. But if you understand in that unspeakable, unimaginable love of the Father for each one of us, then you will appreciate chapter 1, what Paul is saying. He's saying that you are not an accident. You are not something that God just picked up on his way to do something. You are dear in his heart. Even before the foundation of time, he determined to love you. He determined to shower his blessing without reserve in Christ Jesus into your life. He determined to make you holy and blameless in Christ Jesus. This is the context of chapter 5 and 6. When we understand that, here in chapter 5, it begins with this. Therefore, Paul is saying that derived from that understanding of the Father's love in Christ Jesus for each one of us, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. It is that love that motivates us, drives us as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So that foundation of being a beloved children of God is the source of the outflow of all relationship that you and I are in. Whether that is husband and wife in the book of Ephesians, whether that is today, we talk about parents and children, whether that is bondservants and master, later on in the chapter, it all comes from that outflow of the foundation. And you know, since Paul emphasized the truth, God loved us, chose us before the foundation of the world. The other side of that coin means that no one, not any being, could ever, ever change that fact. He determined it already. And that is the background, that is the context of today's text. From that, now we go into the text, chapter 6, verse 1 to 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with the promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. From that, we understand why Paul addressed to children first. Now, he said, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. He's not saying that children obey your parents. He said, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Later on, when he addressed to parents, in verse 4, it's the same pattern. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. You still remember the previous two Sundays when we study 1 Peter about the role of husband and wife. You know that. There's a consistent emphasis, whether it's Apostle Paul or Apostle Peter. Our first and utmost devotion has to be dedicated to God first. The wife is not, the priority for the wife is not to please her husband, but to please Christ. The priority of the husband is not to rule over his wife, but obey, submit himself to Christ. And here the same thing, what confine, what define, what craft out the relationship between parents and children is in the Lord. So in other words, if your parents ask you to sign off some kind of tax return that you know that's not true, you may not do your parent a favor, because there is a high authority you and your parent going to answer to. Parents, when you demand your children to do certain things, it has to be in the Lord. It cannot violate the Lord's principle. Otherwise, you and your children that you influence will bring into the judgment of God. So children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in this land. So the first point I want to put out is imitate God, because we all are His beloved children. It's coming from the context. In other words, Paul is emphasizing something. Before you can be parents, you have to learn how to be children first. Before you can be a biblical parent, you have to learn how to be a biblical children first. I'm addressing not just for the teenagers that's sitting among us, that worship with us. I'm also addressing to the parents, because all of us are children of someone. And the foundation is coming from here. And how do we learn to be a biblical children? Because sometimes our earthly parents might have deficits. I have deficits. My parents have deficits. We are not perfect. We are far away from perfect. And some of us, your background may be much more broken than a lot of people. But the good news here, Paul put forth here, is you don't have to be defined by your background. You don't have to be defined by your experience. You don't have to be defined by that abuse pattern that you grew up with. It is a very strong message for us today. Because today in our culture, we are so used to attribute my deficit to someone's wrongdoing and therefore blame that person. And the gospel telling us all blame can stop because Christ is more powerful than your deficit. And our Heavenly Father in Christ Jesus already set a pattern for us. So that's why Paul said, imitator of God. When you experience God's grace in Christ Jesus, it breathed new life, new energy, new power, new strength, new freedom into your life. That means you don't have to be the victim of unbiblical parenting. You don't have to always go back to that experience. Because the more you go back to that experience, the more you allow that to define who you are. You have new freedom. Period. Whether you feel it or not, period. That is the spiritual truth. That's the end of the matter. Don't subscribe to secular psychology. Yes, it has influence on us, but it cannot define us, because we have a new source of power in Christ Jesus coming into our lives. So children, obey your parents in the Lord. He's talking about calling upon children, and he's including children in this rather complicated letter. You have to remember the book of Ephesians is not a printed material that, you know, at that time, there's no printed thing, no paper kind of thing. It's a heavy scroll written on animal skin, carried by some traveler of the gospel, bring to the church of Ephesians. And then in church of Ephesians, they gather together, adult and children. So in other words, Paul seeing children is part of the community of faith, that they are able and capable to understand and to receive the Word of God. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. He gives you the reason. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in this land. This go back to the Ten Commandments. It's the first commandment that has a promise, and that promise is an earthly promise. Why is that promise? Because in ancient time, the second generation derived their skill and experience about life from the older generation. If you don't follow, you don't obey, you might run into danger. You might put yourself in certain danger. Today, it's the same thing. Your parents, whether you are young or you are my age, they have a lot of social experience dealing with life situations in life. And our culture, which upholds youthfulness, tend to dismiss the wisdom come with age. But if you read the Bible is teaching us to respect the elderly. That is a biblical value. Have you think of that? That is a biblical value. That is not an ancient value. That is not a cultural value. In the Bible, it speaks of that. You read the New Testament, you see that. We ought to properly respect the elderly. Not only just because they contribute to the society, but also they accumulate a lifelong wisdom in dealing with rather difficult situation, in the personal relationship, and that sort of thing. So here Paul said, children, obey your parents in the Lord. As long as that is not violating God's commandment and the biblical value, pay attention to them. Obey them. Honor your father and mother. In other words, listen to them. Are we guilty of not listening? The song that I just played before the message, it depicts a pattern that might repeat in our life later. The only way we can break away from that pattern is the gospel. So in other words, if today you complain that your father or your mother didn't give you time, beware. You might repeat that same pattern when you grow old. Parents. That song, yes, it struck some fear in our hearts. But the Bible takes us beyond that fear. Because it affirms us first the foundation, which is in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have a Heavenly Father who loves us and who offer us His resource so that we may not be defined by our deficiency. We can break through with that. So, imitate God because we all are the beloved children. It urges us, honor your father and mother. That is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. So children, when I said obey your parents, don't treat it as like, oh, Pastor Wilson is still saying those old things. No. Here, God's word is very clear. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. Pay them due respect. And how do you express that respect? Listen to them. It's oftentimes too often that we dismiss them. When they say something, we know, oh, that's the same thing. So I shut down my ear. And when you shut down, you are actually encouraging and training your parent to be nagging. Because what other way can they do? They need to repeat it. So if you want to break away from that pattern, pay attention. Listen to them. There's no better way to respect a person by giving your ear and your attention to that person. Sometimes I go to other churches to do co-workers training. And one of the most difficult skill for a person to pick up is listening skill. This is the most difficult skill in all of the skill. It's easy for people to pick up like Bible study skill, how to ask questions, how to direct, you know, conversation and discussion. But the most difficult thing is listen. Listen while paying attention. Some of us can even listen in Sunday sermon, fall asleep. Giving attention to God's word is the first step of training us to be respectful to other people. Listen means you treat that person as a person that is important. You can disagree with the thing that he or she said. But if you don't listen, you are communicating a disrespect. And that person will get that message. And that starts to change the relationship. Another way of not listening is to cut before the sentence finishes. A lot of time in interpersonal relationship, that create a lot of tension. Why? Because when you cut someone's sentence, then you are telling that person, what you say, I already know, and therefore it's not important. So in other words, it's a very self-centered action. Train our ear and train our heart to be a listener is number one challenge in life. If you can train your ear and your heart to be a listener, you find that the relationship around you start to change, start to transform. That is why this Paul said, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in this land. The first thing that Paul urged children is to give your parents an attentive ear and undivided attention. The same as he is demanding us when we approach him, to give him our ears and undivided attention. Think back a few minutes ago when you were standing and singing. Why did I, you know, if you still remember in the month of June when we preached the worship message, why did I urge you sing? It's not about whether you are singing in tune or not. Sing. Because when you sing, you are training your heart and your attention to give God your undivided attention. It's preparing your heart to push out the weed, to things that you worry, to things that occupy your heart, and give him all your attention. That is the first step of worship. That is honoring. That is respect. So children, I'm not talking just for teenagers. I'm talking also to adults, parents, because we are children of someone. And most of all of us are children of God. Obey your parent in the Lord. Honor your father and mother. If you don't know how to do that, I suspect that you don't know how to worship God either. It's tied in with our relationship with God. It's closely tied in with our relationship with the Heavenly Father. If you're not a listener, most likely you will not be a listener to God's teaching. And you run around so busy, carry a lot of worry, anxiety, anger and all these things, frustration, cynicism. I suspect it probably come up from this root of not willing to listen. Not giving the due respect and due attention to God himself. Imitate God because we all are his beloved children. Imitate God by obeying and honoring our parents. I just finished that point as well. I thought I'm a little bit slow on this slide. But also here, in verse 4, Paul said, Father, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Imitate God by exercising godly discipline. What does that mean? He said, Father, as I explained a little bit earlier, when he said Father is actually addressed to parents. Parents, so that's why some of the translation you said, Father and mothers or parents. Do not provoke your children to anger. What does that mean? The word provoke here is a very specific word. That word in the Latin translation, some of you heard about a version a long time ago called Septuagint. Okay, that is the Latin translation of, the Greek translation of the Old Testament for the early church. And they use the same word by translating some of the texts in the Old Testament when they talk about God's anger. It's the same word, provoke, God's anger in the Old Testament. And in the Old Testament, that word appear in the context of when Israel worship idols. When Israel worship idols, they provoke the anger of God. So in other words, this one, Father, do not provoke your children's anger, is the kind of similar to the holy anger of the Lord. Now listen, parents. Here is the point that Paul is trying to make. So parents, do not provoke your children to the holy anger similar to God. Why did he say that? When you teach them something and you cannot model it, when you live an inconsistent life, then you provoke your children to anger. And Paul said, don't do that. It is the same urge to us and the same warning to us, just like when we study 1 Peter about husband and wife relationship, so that your prayer will have no hindrance. Because this shows who you are. It shows your relationship with Christ. So if you come to the church, dress up, looks very respectful, devote yourself in the Lord's service, but you live an inconsistent lifestyle at home, Paul is warning that. Father, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Bring them up in the instruction and discipline of the Lord. In other words, he's telling parents, to live a consistent life, that what your children see at home is the same as other people see at church. Bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6 has this saying, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. This is a double-edged verse. So in other words, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. You train up a child in the Lord's way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. But if you train up your child not in the Lord's way, but in this world's way, when he is old, he will not depart from it. It's warning us. We tend to over-discipline or under-discipline. Over-discipline and under-discipline coming from the same source. Our insecurity about our love. I'm not sure when I discipline my child, he or she will love me. But Paul here is urging us, your love is not rooted in how your child sees your love. Your security of that love is rooted in the Heavenly Father loved you before the foundation of the world. In Christ Jesus. And when you do that, all these things, discipline your child in the Lord, you are actually loving them in a godly way. Have you ever seen a child sitting on the fence that the parents saying that you should not do that? and the little Johnny still remained there. And then the mother or the father come, Johnny, come down. Johnny doesn't respond. Johnny, come down right now. Still sitting there. Johnny, I'm going to count to three. Come down. Johnny doesn't move. One, two, two and a half, two and three quarter. Johnny, please come down. I'll buy you an ice cream cone. Can you imagine when Johnny is 23 years old? Can you imagine the people around Johnny? How would they see him? If we under discipline, we are not doing good to them. That's the only thing that we wish our enemy would have. So parents, when you know that you have a tendency to be under discipline, take a deep look into where is that fear come from. If we do that in the Lord, in the proper, healthy way, it will not break the child's spirit. It actually will strengthen him or her. And you are paving a ground for him in the future. But if you're under discipline, you're not doing your child a favor. You are creating rejection for him when he enters into other relationships socially. But on the other hand, over-discipline. Over-discipline is also an expression of our anger, that we have the anger problem. We all have that, myself included. It's more than one time I have to apologize to my children. I make mistakes. But the over-discipline also comes from a fear. The fear is that if I don't have strong control over my child, he or she will not be good. It's a lack of trust of God's love will work in their life. And that anxiety fuels us to do more than is needed. It has to go back to that foundation. And that foundation in chapter 1, that God, the Heavenly Father of Jesus Christ, adopted us, chose us before the foundation of time, to love us and shower us with all spiritual blessings, so that we can be called the children of God. Without that foundation, we cannot do proper biblical parenting. We have to go back to that foundation, all of us, because we are all children of God. And today, when we come into the sanctuary, we see that table set before us. Lord Jesus, obeying, honoring the Heavenly Father, to a degree, he gave up himself, so that the Father, through him, can adopt you and me, many, many children, into the family. And that was not an accident or afterthought. That was a predetermined plan of God before the foundation of the world. He loves you. His love is sufficient for all of us to transform our lives, to be victorious over whatever deficit or abusive experience that we might experience, and give us a new beginning. Let's bow and prepare our hearts.